This is KUT
Austin.
Stop.
This is KUT. I'm Jennifer Staten. Where are you from? It's a common question heard around Central Texas because so many people move here from other places. That's a geography question, but what about where we're really from, our roots? Kimberly Keaton is the African-American community archivist at the Austin History Center. She's also the organizer of Growing Your Roots, the inaugural African-American Genealogy Conference. It runs January 30th through February 2nd in Austin. Keaton says she got the idea for the conference, which will include panels, workshops, and research hubs, after a community member expressed an interest in genealogy work. Keaton says exploring genealogy has boomed in recent years.
It could be the past going to the future or growth. You know, planting a seed and it turning into something that you never could have imagined, which is what I think about when I think about family history and researching and learning about the past and bringing that all to the forefront of your life and what you're going to do with that information.
So this is the inaugural African-American Genealogy Conference. Why did you organize it?
Well, I would say that we do nothing alone. So when I first got here, which was in August of 2018, I had so many people asking me to host events and, you know, be a part of certain events. And genealogy is really big these days. So I had a community resident to just ask me about putting together an event. So I referred her to the director of the Austin Public Library, which is Roosevelt Weeks. And she sat down with him. Then I received communication about, you know, could you possibly work with her idea? And when we sat down and spoke to each other, I listened to her and what she proposed. And I was like, well, I think this is bigger than you and me. How about we, you know, perhaps look at doing a genealogy conference in 2020? That's how it started. And like, we actually have a conference coming up.
So you said genealogy has gotten really big right now. First of all, can you define genealogy? Because I think we know what it means. Family history, family tree. What does genealogy actually mean?
I'm just going off the cuff. I believe that genealogy is the study of one's history. And that delves with any race, creed, color. I believe it's just you taking the time to look at from whence you came. And we all have a starting point. Many of us don't know that actual starting point, but I think that's what genealogy encompasses. And it also encompasses research, reading, writing, traveling, having to go find information. I think it encompasses a lot. And I think everyone would have a different definition for you.
So you said genealogy has gotten really big. Is that because of these companies where you can like swab your cheek and mail it in and they'll tell you your background? Why has it gotten so big in more recent times?
I think due to technology, you know, everything has gotten big in regards to being able to, you know, we have a new cell phone come out like every other day. And with genealogy, I think as it pertains to DNA, a lot of people have asked me, had I taken that route? And I haven't, because I'm more interested in doing the footwork. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't get a DNA test. I mean, please do, because you will find out information about yourself and your family. However, you still have to do the footwork at some point to figure out from Z back to A. Where did we originally come from? Where did we originally come from? So And then not just that, I would say with a lot of different TV shows, investigative reporting, Henry Louis Gates has a show out where he's sitting down with celebrities, helping them find, you know, their family histories. And then I just think people are really, really interested in knowing who they are today. And I think that's a good thing.
I wonder why we're more interested these days in knowing who we are.
I would say we have so many conflicting histories about how America began. And I think people want to see how they fit in the grand scheme of this story about the United States. So I think that is another major component to why people are taking the time to acknowledge their history and that it exists, and frequenting different research centers and asking more questions about genealogy.
It's so interesting that you mentioned technology, because what I wonder, you know, I think about down the road. And so say 50 years from now, the kinds of things that I'm assuming you're talking about and what people explore when they explore their own genealogy might be documents or photos, for example. But we live so differently these days. Everything is digital, you know, digital documents or photos. What will people in the future, I guess they'll study digital everything. They won't hunt down photos or documents or anything.
I tell people, because a lot of people ask me, you know, are libraries going to close due to technology? There are a lot of things that we have to continue to save and archive. So there's always going to be an archive of images. There's always going to be, you know, an archive of documents. Now, is that going to be your family history, though? That's the question. How do you want to document your history? Do you want to archive it per se digitally? Or would you like to have both components where you donate some of your history to the Austin History Center and we archive that information for you, where people all over the country can come access your history? Or would you prefer to create your own platform and digitize your history that way? Where we will go in the future, I have no idea. I believe that I've always been a proponent of twofold, the physical and digital, because they both matter. And it depends on who's researching that history. If you're talking about someone who's 90 years old, they're going to want to touch things versus someone who's 43. And they're like, you know, let me just go on my phone. I can log into FamilySearch on my phone right now. And, you know, all the history's right here. Let me share it with you.
So tell us a little bit about the conference. What will actually be going on at the genealogy conference?
Wow. Okay. So the conference begins January 30th through February 2nd. This is a 4-day free conference that will be held in the state capitol. And I believe it's the first African American genealogy conference in Austin, Texas. I've done a little bit of research to see, and I have not found any events of that caliber here. So, with that being said, we're going to open up with, on January 30th, Our Community, Our Voice, photographs from the Villager newspaper honoring the Villager African-American community newspaper and its publisher, Tommy L. Wyatt. The paper began in 1973, and is still ever so popular. And I'm just excited to be able to open up the conference that way. Then we're going to segue into January 31st, where you will get to hear the keynote speaker, Dr. Edmund Gordon. He is the Vice Provost of Diversity, as well as a professor in anthropology here at UT Austin, University of Texas at Austin. And then we're going to have a film reel that evening that's sponsored by PBS. And some of those films that we will be sharing includes Changing the Same, which is a short film Edgecombe, which is another short film. And the feature film for the evening will be Brother Outsider, which talks about the 60-year career of one of the civil rights movers that leaders that walked with Dr. Martin Luther King. And this is going to showcase 60 years of his life. Then the main day of the conference, which is February 1st, I mean, we just have like, I think it's just packed full of just good information as far as panels, workshops, and we're going to have a research hub as well.
So what are the workshops actually about? Like, what are you going to be teaching people how to do?
Me, per se, I will be teaching Digging Up Roots in Your Own Backyard, African-American Genealogy for Novice Users. So if you're not used to searching for your family history, or you're like just beginning, this would be the workshop for you. I'm going to introduce you to Ancestry.com, FamilySearch.com, just a few basic entities that will help you get going. Then I'm going to have some sort of like a masterclass, which is called Gen Knowledge, African American Genealogy for Intermediate and Advanced Users. And during that workshop, I just ask that people just come with questions. Like if you have a burning question, you have a brick wall, let's see if we can get through that brick wall. We're going to have another workshop entitled Blog About It, Making WordPress Work for Your African-American Family History. So if you're interested in digitizing your history, this is the workshop that you would want to take. Then we actually have a workshop for teenagers between the ages of 13 and 18, which will be hosted by Brown Teens Read. And that's going to be an interactive workshop in the Teen Lounge at the Austin Public Library. And to close out our workshops, we're going to have Miss Emma Robinson from Dallas, Texas. She's going to facilitate Naming the Lineage. We will walk through who awakened your senses, who politicized your experiences of body, identity, who taught you the value of feeling good. And she's going to come from the perspective of genealogy and your history. So I'm really excited about the workshops. I wish I had the opportunity to sit down and be able to take some of the workshops, because I think they're going to be really informative and you'll be able to walk away with different tips to use every day in your search for your history.
So one of the objectives, it says in the material for the conference, is to teach people to collect, archive, and preserve family history. So how do you suggest that people even just get started with that? I mean, if you've never done anything, but you want to chronicle your family history, where do you start?
Honestly, I would say, you know, start searching for funeral programs. Like, a lot of people don't know that funeral programs have so much information. Like, sometimes they list all of your family history as far as all of the people that came to that funeral, and then that person that was deceased, everybody on their side. Like, and you can start from that end of the spectrum as far as looking for your family. Then looking at different photos that, you know, your grandmother gave you, or your mom, or your father, and you have them sitting in a box under your bed. Take those photos out and have a photo naming ceremony or photo party with your family, and y'all come together. And if they have information about those photos, let them write that information down on the back, or have a notebook, and you can archive information that way. And say you don't know the names of those people, they can give you those names too. So I would start in my own backyard, which is what I will be teaching you. Looking at what you have in the now, and how can that help you get to a timeline of history.
I've had the opportunity, I think, twice in the past couple of years to interview Michael Hurd. I don't know if you've ever met him, or he's actually a sports writer. Now he teaches at Prairie View A&M, but he wrote a book about the history of Black high school football in Texas. And both of the times we talked, one was for On the Air and one was for the KUT Book Club, he said that one of the challenges of writing the book was the lack of even basic, adequate, not to mention sufficient, coverage of Black high school sports in Texas. Because what were sports writers writing about? White high school sports in Texas.
Is there an additional challenge for archiving African American families just because of a lack of proper attention, writing, chronicling, imaging African Americans in the history of the United States?
I think that's an amazing and excellent question going into this conference, because as a genealogy curator, one thing that I share with people is that when you look at the census records, African American people in the 1800s were not taking census records. It was Caucasian males typically going to different farms, knocking on these doors and asking, you know, how many people are in your family and how, you know, what are their names? And the names were misspelled. So let's say Stevens was your great-great-grandfather's last name. They could have spelled it S-T-E-V-I-N-S. And today y'all go by S-T-E-V-E-N-S. So how do you get back to that I? Because remember, you go by S-T-E-V-E-N-S versus S-T-E-V-I-N-S. Those are things that happen. Then wrong ages were placed in the census, as well as places of where African-American people were originally born. Some of them just actually answered questions just so that person could leave, you know, because they didn't want to be a part of the census. And why are you asking me all of these questions, especially after 1865, right when African-American people were free in the state of Texas, being that it was 2 years, you know, later, after the Emancipation Proclamation was signed. So, you know, when you look at your census records, those are great records to use, but you also have to know that there are many mistakes. And it's not just about Black families. It's about everybody. You know, like, we just started writing, you know, with ink pens, with pencils during that time. You really don't know what instruments that they were using during that time to write this information down. So a lot of things was misspelled. You know, you have to catch those things. And that's why you need to be organized when you're doing genealogy. You need notebooks. You need sleeves. You need notepads. And keeping that information organized. Like, my last name is spelled K-E-E-T-O-N. We have K-E-A-T-O-N in the census. We have K-E-T-O-N in the census. But I was still able to find my family based on, sometimes it's following the neighbors. Instead of, you know, following your family, you may have to follow the neighbors that live right next door to them and look at their family to see actually where your family went to. So it's like, you know, during that time, I would say from 18, I would say really like the early 1800s through, let's say, 1940, things started to look different in the census as far as you being able to actually read a lot of the information. Because you have to study these census documents. You can't just say, oh, I found my family. You know, you have to really vet that information. And that's something that you'll learn in my workshops that I'll be hosting.
Take a step back from kind of the mechanics of finding and chronicling and archiving family history. You have done research and found some of your own family history. What does it feel like to have that information about people who came before you?
I have a great story, a quick story. So I found 8 generations on both sides. My mother passed in 2015, and my mother's baby sister passed 2 months after her. But the genius in knowing who my mother was and my aunt and my grandmother, my aunt was the family historian. So in 2011, she started giving me all this information. I think she knew she was passing, but started giving me all this information. I started writing it down, and I just started connecting dots. Lo and behold, we're in 2019, and I'm looking at my great-great-great-grandfather's sister's death certificate. And on the death certificate,
Stella Wells was the informant. I had just got to Austin in 2018. So I prayed and I prayed and I've been trying to figure out who Stella Wells was. Because I was like, who is she that signed this? You know, who is she as the informant? Kept thinking so. And not to get religious really quick, but God helps you out a lot in this process. Because you got to pray. You got to find the answers. And sometimes they're not just going to come to you just praying will. So I prayed and prayed and prayed. And something just told me to just start looking at city directories, you know, just look at, just do a Google search, and Google is good. I will teach you that too. Like it's, they have tricks to use for genealogy. So I input her name, Stella Wells, find out that Willie Wells was her father. Willie Wells has a statue at State Capitol. So I was like, okay, so what does this mean, Lord? What is this? What is this about? Who is Stella Wells? So I keep looking at the birth certificate and I'm looking at who her grandmother is. Her grandmother and my great-great-great-great-grandfather were brother and sister. Okay, so she was my great-grandmother's first cousin, which made her my grandmother's first cousin removed, which makes her my probably third cousin removed. But the interesting part is that, remember, I stated I've been looking for her. I found her when I moved, just the information when I got here, 2018, summer. Okay. I decided to call this phone number that I found online. She answered the phone, 98 years old. Not knowing that Willie Wells was one of the first African-American baseball players to be placed into the Texas Hall of Fame and National Hall of Fame as a shortstop. Lo and behold, 98 years old, still living. Told me to come by her house. Lives in East Austin. I go by there one day. She had these beautiful, just blue eyes, all this gray hair, small, frail. But I got to say hello. I got confirmation in the work that I've been doing for so long. It was one of the most, I don't know, like I was just in tears because I couldn't believe I was looking at my grandmother's, like this is just like history. And she passed July 4th, 2019. So that is to show you not to stop, to keep going. And you never know who you're related to. And it's just like, lo and behold, I just get to Austin and I, you know, receive confirmation that all of the work that I've been doing has been right. The vetting process.
Kimberly Keaton is the African American Community Archivist at the Austin History Center with the Austin Public Library. Kimberly, thank you so much for your time and your stories today.
Thank you so much.